If you've ever tried to accomplish a job without the right tool, it's frustrating. You work harder and harder, but don't get much out of it. That's why the Bible Study Company was created. It's the right tool to help you study and enjoy reading the Scriptures. Powerful tools have been built into this resource to help regular pew sitters like you and me gain more understanding from what we read. Now, please join founders Rick and Mary Joyner as we dig deeper and find more meaning out of the Bible.
Hi, everyone. I'm Rick Joyner, and this is Podcast for Pew Sitters. Mary Joyner, my gorgeous wife, is sitting in a green polka dot dress. I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, everybody grab their beverage. If it's evening, make sure it's a good beverage.
And not caffeinated.
Yeah, that's right. So, and you've got Pete's Coffee. This Pete's Coffee is really good.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah. All right. So, we've got a lot to cover, Mary, today. We left Moses in Pharaoh's daughter's house. We're in Exodus chapter 2, part 3. That's what we're in. Now, part 3, if you remember last, we were talking about kingdom people and people who are full of faith.
Right.
And we defined faith as being obedient to God's word. So as people who love God, or we just found out about God, we have to get to know God, of course. But the biggest foundational principle that we could lay here for our brothers and sisters and our fellow pew sitters is you have got to start looking at faith as being obedient to God's word. Go through Genesis 12, Genesis 15. Go ahead, Mary.
And like we covered in the last podcast, faith without knowing what the end result is going to be. Only knowing that God has called us to do something and we're to be obedient to it and have faith that God will care for us in that, even if it doesn't look like he will.
And I think one of the things that we can stress to people is we're looking at a church where people hardly read their Bible in the United States.
Right.
Which then opens the door to all kinds of types of churches, and people don't know. They don't know, but God calls each one of us to be followers of Jesus Christ, and he is the living word. So we need to know Scripture. We need to have faith by acting on his word.
That's right.
Yeah, and some people listening to this would say, that's legalism. Legalism, if following the entire Bible, God's commandments, you made a great point just a little while ago about the Old Testament, that it foreshadows Christ.
Right. It's something that I didn't realize for many years, and I should have, but I think the average pew sitter would probably agree with me that you don't connect the Old Testament with the New Testament. You can look at the Old Testament and it points to the New Testament. The New Testament confirms things that have happened in the Old Testament and the foreshadowing of things to come, and it always points to Christ. It's a huge deal to know that and see that, and it opens up a whole other world for Christians as they're reading Scripture.
Well, and I think one of the things to say is Judaism was looking for a Messiah, and they had the types and foreshadows in the Old Testament and the Law and the Prophets foreshadowing a person coming, except it wasn't the way they wanted it. They wanted a different type of Messiah. He didn't defeat the Romans. He defeated sin. That was our greatest enemy, and death.
Right.
So that is absolutely tremendous.
Well, and it also shows the importance of us talking about kingdom-minded or earthly. They were looking for a Messiah from a earthly view, not a spiritual view.
That's exactly right. That's really well put. And I think the men of faith that we just talked about, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, are the forefathers of our faith. They acted on God's word. They weren't perfect, but they acted on God's word. And so they acted on the promises that God gave. And we're going to see this because we've got a situation where, just like in the turn of the century, or not turn of the, when Christ came, sorry, we have a situation brewing where the promised Messiah was to come, where a promise given to Abraham, where the children of Israel would be in Egypt and enslaved, and they would leave with gifts, and you can go back in Genesis and read this, is coming to a halt. But how do you get people to leave someplace that is nice as Egypt unless it turns really ugly? And that's a foreshadow in our own lives. If everything's going hunky-dory, we don't need God. You know what I mean? And we're faced with struggles in this life.
And that's where our downfall comes as human beings. If everything's going great and we're not in the Word, we're going to be deceived.
Yeah.
If everything's going poorly and we're not in the Word, either way, you need to be in the Word.
Right. And I think what's happened to you and I is we've discovered that we didn't realize that there was a whole nother life and world that could be had by studying God's Word and how Scripture invades our lives.
And we've talked about it. I believe it was in the last podcast. We've maybe mentioned it throughout the different podcasts that it's a living Word and that it plays a part in our lives daily. It's not a devotional. It's not just, I'm going to read a chapter, check it off my list for devotions today, even if I don't understand what I'm reading. I did my devotion. I can go get on to my real day. That's the difference between getting into the Word and studying it and just doing my devotional for the day so I feel good before I leave.
Right. So back to this. Exodus, according to Dr. Brooke Corman of Love Israel, is a picture of our Christian life. So with that in mind, and with the new definition of faith, which is being obedient to God's Word, let's continue on, and we're going to read starting in Exodus chapter 2, verse 10, down to verse 16 when Moses fled. So we're going to see quite a bit of stuff inside of here. And keep in mind, too, that Egypt represents the current world system. And if we have time, we'll go through that. But I may post our notes and everything with this podcast so that people can look at them. Go ahead, honey.
The child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Now it came about in those days when Moses had grown up that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew on his brethren. So he looked this way and that, and when he saw no one was around, he struck down the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. He went out the next day, and behold, two Hebrews were fighting with each other, and he said to the offender, "Why are you striking your companion?" But he said, "Who made you prince or a judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and said, "Surely the matter has become known." When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well.
Yeah, and I think this is, I think we need to go back up and take a look at this.
Yeah, I'd say these chapters are so chock full of stuff that it's really amazing.
Yeah, so what are you seeing right now?
Well, the very first thing that I saw was they're talking about grown up, which means to become great. And the next word was he was looking over his brethren. And that stuck out to me because that translates as a brother or, you know, somebody that you're a part of, a generational thing. So in my mind, Moses is already making a transition in his mind and identifying with the Hebrew people, not the Egyptians.
Right. I think something's going on. And I think a few days ago when we were talking about this, getting ready for this, this appears we both came to an agreement that he's undergoing a form of repentance. Because in verse 9, there's something to point out about the faithfulness and the mighty love of God. Because here's Moses' mom. She puts her faith in God, puts the child in the river. Then a series of events happens. The Lord arranged it that Moses' mother was operating as a kingdom person, according to Dr. Brooke, because my question to him is, she operating as a kingdom person? That's our theory here, because she's operating against the wishes of Pharaoh, which is death, selfishness, and all that. And he said yes, because she heard the cry of the child. But what's interesting, Mary, is the love of God We got God's promises going on and getting ready to come to convergence or fulfillment, just like today with what's going on in the world, and just like what was going on when Christ first came. But not only that, it said, take this child, this is Pharaoh's daughter, nurse him for me, and I will give you wages.
Right.
So he blessed them for being obedient as a kingdom person. That's an outstanding turn of events. And I don't think we realize the power of, I don't want this like power to be what you hear, but it's powerful in the sense that his mother acted full of faith, or faithful to God's word to preserve life. Took a Bible story or a story of Noah, put the ark in the water. Then she is given wages. The Lord is blessing her for acting in faith. And we see that all through Scripture.
Well, and the opportunity to be paid to nurse her own child, but it also shows that it was momentarily happy for her to receive that back. She didn't know she was going to get that back, but future is that she's going to have to go through pain again because she has to give that child back. So she's acting in faith continually. I would think that would probably even be harder the second time giving back than the first. But her faith, her faith had to have been at a place where I'm going to trust in you, Lord. And, you know, they don't talk about her that much, but we know that, you know, from the previous verses that her and her husband were followers of God.
That's right. Yep. And so, but the other provision is then the Lord arranged somebody else who had a heart for the Hebrews, had a heart for the God of Hebrews, who acted in accordance. I mean, it's amazing. And I'll bear this testimony out. Our life has been dramatically different when we've come to Scripture and said, Lord, we want to study to learn your ways. Not just to study to get knowledge, but learn your ways. And you can bear that out too. Just amazing things like this have taken place. People have come into our lives to help us. Things have happened in our lives. I mean, it's almost too much to describe. And it follows right along with this right here. And it's interesting, because I drew him out of water, we could say that there was some kind of baptism type thing going on, but I don't want to get into the like infant baptism, but there's more with this water. And again, the Nile is...
Well, and doesn't water always represent life?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if always, but...
Yeah, I drew him out of life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, if we go up, it says, now it came about in those days. So I know that that's a Hebrew idiom because it represents a span of time. But the thing is that when Moses had grown up, again, we're seeing this great again. So we don't know this now. So it's not, the Holy Spirit's not teaching us this now that he was 40 years old about this time. But he's going through a time where I think, where's the promises of God? Why isn't God fulfilling it? He's been separated from his Hebrew brethren, but he's seeing what's happening in Egypt, and it's getting worse. And so I think you rightly said there is a point where he's coming to a change of his mind. People don't understand a lot of times what repentance is. And in Scripture, it's called teshuvah or shuv, and it means to turn. In other words, your face is going one way in one direction and you turn to go another way. Now, your heart, mind, and everything might not, or your heart might not, and your emotions might not want to go that way. And we see that struggle going on.
Right.
But he did it anyway. And that's exciting. That's exciting. We can experience this if we start studying Scripture to live a praiseworthy life to God, not, in other words, what do you want me to change on? How do you want me to go forward? How do I learn to be a kingdom person? Because we said last time, once you shed this body, which we all will, and we're getting older, so that's closer than we thought.
Yeah.
When we shed this body, we're going to be standing in the kingdom of God, and we better know how to operate. That's our call. That's the assurance of things hoped for. That's faith too.
Right. I also think that in here that they're talking about, you know, him looking over his and identifying with the Hebrews and his brethren, and then goes into killing an Egyptian. And we were talking about that before, that to me, that's him, the idea that he's coming to understanding of God and that this isn't right, but he's taking it into his own hands to kill this Egyptian, acting out in the flesh rather than in a spiritual sense.
That's
and you can see the process of what he is doing, and I can relate so much to myself in that, especially as when you're a new Christian, but all the way through your Christian walk, the times that you may not even think that you are, but you take something into your own hands and think, oh, this is what I need to do, you know, for the Lord. And it isn't.
Yeah.
You know, and then you realize it and think, oh my gosh, and you have to repent and turn and go another way. And you can say, well, my intentions were good, but that doesn't matter. You know, your intentions are only good if you're following what the Lord's calling you to do.
That's exactly right. And don't depend on men. That's essentially what happened to us years ago in a church, where the man, the head of the place, he had a vision for something, and it was idolatry because the person and the system was involved. That's legalism. Legalism is a system that men create to supposedly follow God. You can go to a church like that, but make sure that you don't come under that. Don't do it. Don't be an idolater, because don't follow men. Follow Jesus Christ. That's the point. Follow God. Be a part of his kingdom. So sorry to get off on that tangent, but I thought your point was very well taken. So I think it's really important that it says next in the verse, it said that he went out to his brethren and looked on their hard labors. In other words, the Egyptians, let's just take this. The Egyptians were putting everything, and it was getting worse and worse. The Hebrews had to do the work for the Egyptians, all the things the Egyptians didn't want to do. And that included serving their idols, doing the cruddy jobs, doing everything that the Egyptians didn't want to do because the Hebrews were beneath them.
Right.
Okay. So this is how the world system works. The world system works by putting burdens on people. Mm-hmm. And those burdens can look a lot like, in the modern world, debt, being trapped, people putting things on you at a church. It doesn't matter. The point is that they're being burdened, and they have to not only do their own work, but they also have to go home and take care of their families too. And so that's no different than the modern life today. The modern life is you go work for some employer, and then you come home and try to take your family. And now we have two parents out there doing that and then coming home to try to take care of their families. And I remember growing up, I didn't really know my mom and dad. I mean, they were busy with their burdens, if you want to call it that.
Yeah, so, we're a slave to the world system if we choose to be.
That's right.
But a lot of times it happens just like these people, it was over a period of time that they gradually became slaves to the Egyptian. They didn't start out that way.
Right. And I think right now is a very important point, because one of the questions that we had for the Lord is we're starting to see this. Moses is starting to go through something where he's saying, this enough of this. Now, he doesn't have enough of a connection with God to, not like you said, not operate in the flesh. But here's Jeremiah 2. And because we posed the question to the Lord as we were studying this originally, and that was, how the heck, Lord, did they get into slavery? Why would you let your people suffer like this? And we felt very strongly to go read Jeremiah. And we came to chapter 2, and Mary, I think it's beneficial for you to read the whole thing, because I'm telling you, your heart grieves, because this is the Lord speaking, and he's grieved.
Right, and he's talking to his people.
That's right. Yep. Now remember, they're in the promised land. They've been there a long time, and basically what they're doing is they're mixing all the gods of the world with the God of Israel. and which is what goes on in the church today.
I was going to say, doesn't that sound familiar?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. This is Jeremiah 2. Now the word of the Lord came to me saying, go and proclaim in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus says the Lord, I remember concerning you the devotion of your youth, the love of your betrothals, your following after me in the wilderness, through a land not sown. Israel was holy to the Lord, the first of his harvest. All who ate of it became guilty. Evil came upon them, declares the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what injustice did your fathers find in me, that they went far from me and walked after emptiness and became empty? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, who led us through the wilderness, through a land of deserts and of pits, through a land of drought and of deep darkness, through a land that no one crossed and where no man dwelt? I brought you into the fruitful land to eat its fruit and its good things, but you came and defiled my land, and my inheritance you made an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? And those who handle the law did not know me.
Oh, that's just, I'm sorry to stop right there. But this is throughout Scripture where the Lord says, these people died in the wilderness because they didn't know my ways. And Mary, we've set our hearts, and I hope everybody listens to this. I'm sorry, I'm a little emotional. But you and I have set our hearts that we want to know the Lord's ways. We want to know what he wants, and that is a commitment to his word. So sorry for taking you off there, but it just, you know, go ahead.
Okay. Therefore, I will yet contend with you, declares the Lord, and with your sons I will contend. For cross to the coastlands of Kittim and see, and send to Kedar and observe closely, and see if there has been such a thing as this. Has a nation changed gods when they were not gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, and shudder. Be very desolate, declares the Lord. For my people have committed two evils, for they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a slave, or is he a homeborn servant? Why has he become a prey? The young lions have roared at him. They have roared loudly. They have made his land a waste. His cities have been destroyed without inhabitant. Also the men of Memphis and Tahpenes have shaved the crown of your head. Have you not done this to yourself by your forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? But now what are you doing on the road to Egypt, to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what are you doing on the road to Assyria, to drink the waters of the Euphrates? Your own wickedness will correct you, and your apostasies will reprove you. Know therefore and see that it is evil and bitter for you to forsake the Lord your God, and the dread of me is not in you, declares the Lord of hosts. For long ago I broke your yoke and tore off your bonds, but you said, I will not serve, for on every high hill and under every green tree you have lain down as a harlot. Yet I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into the degenerate shoots of a foreign vine? That is so sad to
I know.
Me too.
It is. It's really sad.
Although you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord God. How can you say, I am not defiled? I have not gone after the Baals. Look at your way in the valley. Know what you have done. You are a swift young camel entangling her ways, a wild donkey accustomed to the wilderness that sniffs the wind in her passion, in the time of her heat, who can turn her away?
Well, this is interesting because they're saying that they're not following after the gods, and they actually are. And we see this in the church all the time. I mean,
all the time. I mean, as Christians in general, and that's what I said, I've said before about, and I'm sorry now for getting emotional, and I mean, just kind of angry, not at myself and others, but I don't understand how you can proclaim Christianity and have idols in the world that are so blatant as pro-choice, not being
sexual
married.
Intermarital,
yeah,
not being married and living together,
right?
Yeah,
and It's a wide range accepted thing in the Christian world. And if you speak up about it, you're a bigot, or you're being That's legalistic, right. or you're not being kind-hearted, even though your actions are to love and serve. We're speaking up is one thing. Your actions of loving and serving is another. It's been said that about 98% of all of the homeless shelters and the people that are helping other people are faith-based programs. Yet we're called a bigot if we say what the Lord's. I mean, this is Jeremiah is a good example of speaking up before the Lord.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is the heart of the Lord talking to his people. And they're looking at him saying, here are priests who are supposed to teach them, and they don't even know.
Right. I mean, this has been a very, very, I encourage everybody to go to Jeremiah 2 and tear it apart, really tear it apart and study it.
Mm-hmm. Because it answered the question for us, how Israel, when they came from the land of Canaan, Jacob and everybody, the 70 souls from Exodus 1 came into Egypt, and they were there, and God grew them into a nation. Why did they get into bondage? Why do we get into bondage? Right. What is going on in our life that we are having troubles? We're living in sin, if you want to call it that. And if you don't know what it is, go into the New Testament. Look, take a look at the Ten Commandments. That'll tell you. This tent that we live in is 60, 70 years. That's it. There is no fun in sin, even though people think it is.
It always leads to destruction.
Death.
And I don't think we
need, and separation
from
God.
I don't think we even need to read through the rest of this. We've got the point. We need to get back on. That's giving a description of getting into slavery. But we should get back on the...
That's exactly right. And I think there's one scripture here that says, but where are your gods, which you made for yourself?
Yes.
I was telling you one day, we were setting up our TV in our room, and we're not going to tell you what we did about
in our
all
living
that.
Room, not our bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that we said was, gosh, I feel like I'm setting up our family idol, you know, because what do you give your time to, mm-hmm. you know, and some of the TV shows that are on, are gross. You know, and some of the media out there, we barely can even pay money to go see a movie anymore because of what the violence. I mean, I see Hollywood screaming about guns, and they're the biggest purveyor of shoot 'em ups,
right?
You know, and killing and stuff. It's just the whole thing is just mind boggling. But you know, when you were talking about being a Christian, I'm thinking, you know, it feels like it's coming a day where you don't even want to admit that you're a Christian because people are going to attack you.
Right.
Because you're something that the media has created about you. And it's just crazy. But you know what? As for you and I, we don't want to go into slavery. And when the Lord showed us this, it was like we just ran. And we just said, Lord, find everything in our life that's not of you. Please help us do that. Well, that is a question to ask because it produces some trials, because trials are to show us what's in us, according to Deuteronomy.
Right, and we're all capable of the greatest wickedness.
That's exactly right. So let's continue back to Exodus chapter 2. And Mary, the one thing that we brought up because we read through it is, he looked on their hard laborers. Now, Moses saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. And so, again, remember, we're talking about people who are in the different positions. So what position are we in with God? Are we a kingdom person being full of faith, meaning obeying God's word? Or are we in another position where we're sort of in between? We're trying to make a decision for God, and maybe we act out on in our own flesh, which is what's going on with Moses here. Or are we the Egyptian beating a Hebrew, taking advantage of the Hebrew, acting against the kingdom of God, being wicked? And you know what? There are people who say they're Christians that act totally against the will of God and the word of God. And we don't judge. I don't have anybody in my mind. But the thing is that what position are we going to take here? Because we're seeing Moses start to act.
Right.
Because here's the thing. What's in your heart is how you are going to act.
Exactly.
So.
Well, we go on to.
He looked this way and that.
Yep.
And you know what? There's an interesting thing. When you are not, according to Jeremiah 2, the Lord said, you're not even concerned with me or not afraid of me. Here's the thing. In Judaism, according to Dr. Baruch, when somebody looks this way and that, that's a Hebrew idiom for somebody not taking into account what God would do. So Moses is in between wrestling with all this, and we can only guess, but he looks this way and that. And I think maybe he's very frustrated because where are the promises of God? And have you ever noticed that we get mad at God when things don't happen the way we want?
Mm-hmm.
So, and in this fashion, he's worried about his people, God's people, which is good, but he's acting in the flesh. And so it's a form of atheism according to Jewish tradition that if you look this way and that, and you think you can get away with some sin.
You don't believe that there's a God, or you don't think God's capable of seeing what you're doing.
Yep, and Jeremiah 2 shows that because they're saying, no, God, we don't want even your law. We don't want to know about you. We're going to do what we want. But you know what? We're going to add you into our other gods. We're good. We're good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we'll go see filthy movies. We'll do whatever we want to do. Mm-hmm. We'll party on. We'll do all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Are we participating in the world system, or are we participating in God's kingdom?
Right. To me, if you have to put your kids to bed before you can watch the movie because it's that bad, it's a good barometer that you probably shouldn't be watching it.
That's right.
And we've been guilty of that in the past.
Yeah.
So
yeah, years ago.
I mean, I've never been able to watch horror flicks and stuff. I just never have been able to do that. But it's not about legalism. It's about doing what God calls us to do, and that's to honor him.
Yeah.
And it isn't any, it has nothing to do with legalism. Don't watch movies, don't dance, don't play cards. That's not the attitude at all.
No. And what comes through the eyes and in through our ears will go into our heart and come out our mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Christ said. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not in those words.
When I was a kid, I remember my mom and my grandma always saying, remember, God sees what you're doing. And I'm glad they told me that, because that stuck with me all the time and helping me to make a decision on things that I did, even, you know, and also making me feel guilty, you know, for doing something that I know it was an inherent thing inside that knew that something was wrong. Not even, I may not have even been taught it. It's just there was something there.
That's right. And you went and checked with God.
Right.
So if we can say anything in here, get into the word of God. You'll please the heart of God and you'll save yourself from a lot of trouble, because Moses decides to act and he decides to kill the Egyptian. And then he wanted to hide his crime and he hid it under the sand, hoping that nobody would see it. And the thing is that we do that all the time.
Right.
We want to hide. This goes back to the Garden of Eden when they sinned and they hid from God.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is us. This is man. We don't want to. And when the Lord called me back, he said, you're in rebellion to me. And also, which you can hear my testimony in the other podcast, but he also said, you need to start getting honest.
Right.
And I told the Lord I didn't want to follow him, mm-hmm. because I tried. I tried my own effort and I needed help.
Right.
And he did that.
Right.
So.
And making that point of having to be honest, you were coming up against, you were taking some great chances, which is called faith, because you didn't know what the outcome was going to be of some of the things that you needed to get honest about.
That's right.
You know, what would be causing people pain. There was a lot, to me, that was a good description of having faith, not knowing what the outcome was, obeying God because he called you to do that.
Right. And I learned what grace really is.
Mm-hmm.
Grace is not a license to sin or a freedom from God's word and rules and commandments. The commandments, Christ said, if you love me, you'll obey my commandments. And he is the word of God. Grace then, from Titus 2:12, is always teaching us away from ungodliness. So we're seeing God move in Moses' life to bring about repentance, and that his effort isn't working very well.
Right.
And
well, and then to go on, it said when he came back the next day and saw the offenders, you know, striking his brethren.
So we see another positional person.
Right. And they said, why are you striking you? He said, why are you striking your companion? But he said, who made you prince or judge over us? Are you intending to kill me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and said, surely the matter has become known. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the presence of Pharaoh and settled in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. And to me, that's just a true picture of him taking that last step that he needed to take. Because he could have, in my mind, if you immerse yourself into it, he could have made a choice to, well, I can go to my mother and I can go down and beg Pharaoh to give me another chance and please let me stay in your household.
Yeah, he could have stayed as an Egyptian.
Right, and probably not gotten killed. Maybe he would have, I don't know. But he could have made that choice. And he
especially seen the rejection by the Hebrews.
Exactly.
Right.
Right.
His Hebrew brethren.
Right. And instead, he chose to
leave Egypt.
Leave.
Yep.
And it's not an accident that he sat down by a well.
Right. And which should foreshadow the woman at the well.
Right.
Because she's carrying all her baggage. He's carrying all her baggage. And we're going to find out that the land of Midian, these people were sons of Abraham, but that's for the next podcast.
Right, but and I think that it's important for us all to know that we all have a time when we need to sit by the well and
yep.
come to that place, but that takes humility and it takes repentance.
Well, and Abraham left his country by faith, by obeying the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
He went to a country by Jewish legend. His dad was very famous. And he would be the equivalent of a diplomat's son. So he had a great potential career. God calls him out. And he was very anti-idol, according to Jewish tradition. So he goes to the land of Canaan, where he's a nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Literally a nothing. And he is now a witness to the nations. We are witnesses to the nations. We are witnesses to people and the power of God in our life. And that's one thing I want to share with you here. We're seeing the power of God in these people's lives as they make choices either for or against the kingdom.
Right.
And against God. But he has an Abraham experience. He could have done exactly what you said, felt the rejection of the Hebrews, tried to get God to move in his own power. Abraham did the same thing with Ishmael, and so did Sarah, but he left Egypt. And so the call to us is, that's a foreshadow of what's going to happen to the nation of Israel, because Pharaoh wanted Moses to be killed. Pharaoh wants the Hebrews to be killed. They will leave Egypt. So he left with what he had and ended up in the land of Midian. Now, the thing that we need to understand here is that the land of Midian is outside of the Sinai. And why do I bring that up? I'm going to put a map up in the blog so that you can see that where the likely travel path was, because that desert was so harsh that only a soldier like him, trained in the desert, could avoid the soldiers along the way and knew where possible supplies were. So whatever he had with him, he ended up in the sons of Abraham, who were righteous. But they weren't the promised people, but they were sons of Abraham.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. So we're going to get to see a change in his life, but it doesn't look like much compared to what he could have been in Egypt.
Well, wouldn't you say, I mean, I don't know if this is true, but it, in my mind, it helps me separate the two. Pharaoh is us in earthly view. Moses is us in a kingdom view, in the sense that if you want to look black and white to see, we can be a Pharaoh or a Moses in our daily walk, really. Mm-hmm. One is seeking after things of this earth and power.
That's exactly right.
And the other one is turning from that and seeking a kingdom.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to turn myself into everybody here, but I was telling the Lord today, I'm sad about our country and what's happening to it. And I'm not going to get into politics, but I'm also sad that all over the news right now, Christians are being blamed for lots of different things. And people don't realize that in the churches, when the current president was elected, there was a split in the churches, mm-hmm. and I'm talking evangelical churches.
Right.
What I was sad about is I told the Lord, I said, I don't know what's headed for the future for us, but I know this, I'm sad, and I think I'm sad because we could lose our country, but it's more than that. I realized in my own heart that I don't want to see it go down the tube. Mm-hmm. I don't. And so what am I connected to? Am I connected to Egypt, even though I'm trying to live a separated life? I want to, in my heart, I want to set myself apart for God. I don't even know what that means, except I want his word.
Well, that's the importance of the relationship with the Lord and reading his living word, because we're on this earth until the Lord takes each of us home. So we have to follow the blueprint to keep us from that happening. I mean, it would be normal for all of us to have pain and sorrow and sadness over losing our country or losing our freedom of religion. Many people are experiencing that right now in other countries. I think of the pastor that's in the prison for Christianizing in Turkey, and we could all be at that point. And it's sad and it's scary, but it's even.
But we may have done it ourselves, according to Jeremiah.
Exactly.
Too.
Exactly.
Because where is it that we don't look like the rest of the world?
Right.
We're participating in the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. We're doing things that dishonor God
right.
in our lives.
The participation that we should have in the world is caring for the people, yep. serving, loving, mm-hmm. Not being of the world in a way that's dishonoring to God.
Yeah. And, you know, the other day on the prayer walk, I was sharing with you that I was thinking about Abraham and how he left his country. And then I realized, well, I left the secular work world and I was somebody in flexible spending programs, mm-hmm. you know, big deal. But anyway, thing is that I'm glad I'm with you studying scripture. And I would encourage all men out there and all, anyone that's listening to this, study together and you will see the change that you'll happen. And you'll definitely please God.
Right. And it's not, again, not out of a legalistic, it's out of a desire to, it's the way God created us.
Yeah.
He created us to be able to do this. And if we pursue it, even if sometimes it's hard, we get benefit from it.
That's right. Well, the thing is, we probably need to close this podcast off. Because now we're with Moses in Midian, and there's more there too. But the thing is that I think we need to pray with people today about making a decision. So should we just close it out that way?
Yep, you go ahead.
Father, I just grieve at your heart being hurt in Jeremiah 2 over your people who are living like the world, but then saying that they're remembering you too. And that's not the way you called us. You made us a people set apart for yourself. You sent your only son, beaten and bruised, as the Passover lamb to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. We step out of this body into a life with you. If we believe that, put our trust in you and faith, that's the case, then we have relationship with you and we can be born again. I pray people who are here listening to this podcast will listen to the two struggles, the physical and the spiritual and the in-between, and see how Moses is repenting and working this thing out and making a change and finally fleeing. And so will we flee the world system? Will we trust in you to obey our Heavenly Father and be serious about His word? Even if we want to live the way we want to live, which is what happened to me when you said you're in rebellion to me and you need to be honest, I didn't want to change. And finally I said, Lord, if that's the case, please change me. And that's when I experienced grace. Grace, according to Titus 2:12, is moving away from ungodliness, as the Holy Spirit teaches us, to godliness. And Lord, I'll never be perfect while I'm in this body, but I would really like to thank you for imparting the righteousness of Christ to us. But I will not waste that. I will not lean on that. And we as a couple won't do that either. Our house will serve you. And I'll pass to Mary.
Lord, I just pray for anyone who wants to ask you into their heart and wants to try working through this journey, that you would impress it on them so strongly that they couldn't turn away from it. And I just thank you that we have this opportunity to do these podcasts, and for however long you allow us to do it. I'm just grateful for that, Lord. I thank you that you're my Father, in Jesus' name. I would like to encourage everybody that if there is somebody who is committed their life to Christ and needs to talk or wants more information, they can go to our website and BibleStudyCompany.com, message us if there's anything that we can do to help or point them in any direction.
Or pray with you.
Exactly. We're willing to do it. And the site is free, and we're always putting new things up to try to make it easier for the pew sitter, to the average person, to understand and walk on this journey together with the Lord.
Well, this was very meaningful to me. Thanks.
Yep. Love you.
Love you too. Bye, everybody.